over in the glory land. And I'm glad I'm a-going, ain't you? And I'm glad good singing. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm glad when the singing gets going real good. It makes me feel like I'm a-going. Somebody say amen. And that's one thing better than knowing you're going, Brother Ronnie, is to feel like you're going. And I'm glad today that I'm a-going. We've got this a verse upon my heart. I'm going to read some verses. Familiar scripture. Gets quoted a lot. But I've never had the Lord give it to me like this before. I'm going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We covet your prayers. The Lord would just preach us the way He wanted us to preach. Now I was reminded of some things about preaching. And the Lord called me to preach. And called me to preach His Word. And I'm glad that He did. But I'm also to please Him and not man. And I'm also not only to please the Lord and not man, but I'm also to feed the flock. Acts chapter number 20. I had a conversation with one here recently, and it's my lot, and I welcome it, to challenge you all, the Lord through me challenging you all to come closer to Him and a closer and more sincere fellowship. Thank you, brother. And so I want to preach on this morning, are you denying His power? Are you denying His power? Normally when we're ever, I don't know if you all used to do it, we do it at New Year's Eve. But I know used to, we'd hear that song before we came here, "Give Me Your Hand, Let's Agree Together." True Trooper Judy from Newport, she'd jump up. She didn't care who was standing around. She'd jump up and go straight to that altar looking for somebody to come up and grab her hand and then to go to pray. It was like her call to prayer, Brother Eddie, to go to battle in prayer. So let's agree together. Let all of our enemies crumble at our feet. Whatever we bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. There's a power that comes with prayer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, it's the pulling down of strongholds. But the power comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from with us. Y'all still with the preacher? So in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you got it, we invite you to stand with us and that we would just preach exactly as God have us to preach. I want to read the first couple, maybe five verses in this. As Brother Paul, the apostle, wrote unto Timothy. And Paul says, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessed hope. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Thank you for the wonderful singing, Lord, that we heard from the church. Lord, Father, we're thankful for everything that has been said. We thank you for the hour of prayer, Lord. We thank you for the witnessing of answered prayers, Lord, here today. And we thank you, Father, for the answered prayers that we've heard. And, Lord, we just pray yet some more about you answering prayers. But, Lord, this is my prayer right now. We would speak to hearts. Lord, my heart's kind of heavy. And, Lord, we pray for the hearts today that they would hear the Word, the engrafted Word, as James said, which is able to save our souls, but also, too, Lord, Father, to make a difference in our life. Lord, may we be a vessel unto honor, Lord. We ask you to use this, Lord, without you, Lord. I'm not a preacher. I'm just a man. And, Lord, this congregation needs to be fed. Lord, I pray for this congregation. And I lift them up to you, Lord, Father. Love these people. Love everybody that's here. But, Lord, we need to hear from you You're the difference maker. You're the way maker. You're the one who can do when no man can do. And Lord, Father, we know that You're able. Lord, help us, Lord. As the one father said, he believes, but help his unbelief. And Father, I pray today for that for us. No matter what we say or do, Lord, Father, may we have the boldness to preach everything You'd want us to preach. And Lord, Father, also too, don't let us say things that wouldn't glorify Your name and edify Your Son. I know, Lord, Father, some's got a style, some's got a way of preaching, but Lord, I want, Lord, this congregation to feel You preach through me. Lord, that we may be, Lord, Father, able to lift up Thy name and praise and glory be given unto You. We pray for sinners' hearts and saints' hearts alike. Lord, it be open and come to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Find here in these scriptures, as we said, a lot of times they're quoted. I do believe whether if a person's ever read the book of 2 Timothy or even the New Testament, they've been in church very long, they've heard chapter number 3 be quoted, if not once or twice or three times in the short span you may be attending church. Here the Apostle Paul is talking unto Timothy. He's trying to strengthen him and get him encouraged. Timothy is one that the Apostle Paul would leave in Crete to deal with an island that had a lot of things going on in it. And the Apostle Paul was talking about the things that was going on. And then he gives this here in this chapter number 3 where he talks about the things to be looking for. He talks about the things that this shall come. And can I say, they did come in Paul's days. And they're here in our days. I find here in these scriptures as we read all those things, I'm not going to break them down. I'm really focused upon one, but there's three things that I find that men love, that we find the love of that's warning or a love that we ought not to have. We find in these verses, as I said, I think I count about 18, maybe 19 things here that Paul said would should come, but you can see greatly. But the things that I've noticed in these scriptures, I've watched how he talks about how men should be, and I find in these verses, I find the love of money, and I find the love of self, and I find the love of pleasure. When you look at these scriptures and look at these verses, you can see it's the things that man wants. It's the things that man desires for their own self. He talks about the things that men would be doing, women would be doing, children would be doing, the things that should shortly come to pass or shall come. And I'll say this in the depths of my heart. You can look out and through our country today and it's here. It's still prevalent in the United States of America as it was back then. But this is the part that's kind of got me roughed up, Brother James, that the Lord dealt with my heart upon. We can say we find these things in our school system. We can say we can find these things in the job place. We can find these things also in the convenience stores or the Walmarts that we go to. But I'm finding it more and more prevalent inside the church world. I'm finding more and more and more the love of money, the being the covetous, or the love of pleasure and the love of self. We're finding it showing up prevalently more and more and more in the church world. Now, no doubt I could break down everything, but I don't think you want to hear a breakdown of all these things. I'm going to focus on just three things, and I'm going to hit the main point, the topic that the Lord said about denying the power thereof. I find in these verses the love of money. I find that we have a world today that's obsessed with money. Even in the United States of America, where it seems like prevalently money is obsessed over. Now, I'm not saying this because of this or that. I'm saying because of what the Lord's laid upon my heart. I mean, think about this. They now measure the President of the United States on how the stock market goes up and down. They measure the accomplishments of the President of the United States on how many jobs he creates or jobs he does not create. We got a world now that's so focused on the job and so focused on making a living. Brother Eddie, the one thing that they're not looking for the one who can provide everything that money provides and then some. They're not focused upon the Lord. They're not focused upon what God can give. I've preached many a times about how the prayer and seeking God's face when it comes to money, when it comes to doing things, when it goes along with money. But we got folks that are scared now over retirements. We got folks scared now over Social Security. We got folks scared now over the cost of living. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm just saying this is the fact of what goes on in our world. Don't get me wrong. I get a letter every month in the mail from the government telling me about my retirement. And every so often, they would send us something letting us know about how the state government wants to dip into our retirement because they see that big fund of money. No doubt that's what happened to Social Security. No doubt that's what they'd like to do to 401k. I found out that they're going through Armco, they're going through GM, they're going through all these places and taking things away. And can I say this? Friend, I understand everything. Those things crossed my path too. But friend, can I say this? The one thing we ought not to be a lover of is the lover of the money. The Bible says the love of the money is the root of all evil. When you love money more than God, when you love money more than your family, when you love money more than your church, when you love money more than your kids and your wife and your happiness, friend, there's nothing but evil springing up in your life. It'll cause strife. It'll cause contention. It'll cause heartbreak. It'll cause heartache. It'll cause sleepless nights and worn out paths in the living room floor. It'll cause hands to have calluses from wringing them back and forth. And you say, preacher, you don't understand. You know, I'm poor. Hey, friend, join the club. I am too. Somebody says, well, I ain't got much in the bank account. I ain't got much in the bank account neither. But Brother Don, I got something over yonder. It's a whole lot better than what this world has to give. And I still love the scriptures in Colossians chapter number 3 when the Apostle Paul said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Y'all listen to the preacher. I still think you ought to give the job into the hands of the Lord. I think you ought to give your college journey, whatever you're going through, college, in the hands of the Lord. If you're in high school, give it to the hands of the Lord. If you're in elementary school or junior high, put them in the hands of the Lord. It's better to trust God and to put your confidence in Him. And friend, I'm finding more and more and more that they're gauging the success of a church. They're gauging the success of a preacher. They're gauging the success of a country. They're gauging the success of a state and a city and a home. All about money. But friend, money's not what's going to get you over to glory. I've never seen the bank account. I've never seen a Brinks truck falling up a U-Haul truck, U-Haul or a hearse pulling somebody to the graveyard. But Brother Eddie, the one thing I do know, it's not what's coming behind me that I'm worried about. It's what lies before me. And friend, when I leave this whole world, I can't take nothing with me. Bless God, but I can go home to be with Him. The Bible says this in 2, I do believe it's in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. He says, for it's a certain we brought nothing into this world, and it's sure we can't take nothing out. Can I say, you say, preacher, you preaching against me making a dollar? I'm not preaching against nobody making a dollar. I'm saying, but when men become the lovers of the money more than the lovers of the Lord, something wrong somewhere. I do know this. We all need money. We got to pay the bills. I'm not preaching against the money. I just think it's kind of hard. I think it's just kind of hard for me to swallow. Brother Don, now we can look on our dollar bill, look on our coins, and it says, in God we trust. But the government don't want you trusting in God. They want you trusting in that almighty dollar. Y'all listen to the preacher? Oh, yes. Can I say our dollar's not as worth as much as it was years ago? Used to. It was backed by gold and backed by silver. Now they just print it. It's the only thing it's good for, starting a fire with. But Brother Don, the salvation that God saved you with and saved me with, it's more precious now than it ever has been. Woo! The return and the dividends is better than it was in the day that we got it. And I say, friend, don't be the lovers of the money, but be a lover of the Lord. I find that society we have in Philippians chapter number 4. This is one of my favorite verses. Now get this. Now you can do this. I ain't saying you don't work, and I ain't saying you don't provide. I know all those scriptures. I think I'm all good, and I think they're all needful in a person's heart. I think you ought to provide for your home. I think you ought to work your way through things. But friend, my Bible tells me in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What's that mean, preacher? I was young, yet now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. Hey, if God's got to turn the dew back into manna to feed the Faulkner family, I believe God can turn the dew back into manna. But friend, if we turn our back upon God and trust in the money more than we can trust in the Lord, friend, we done denied the power of God. I find the other thing that we find is the love of self. The love of self. Think about where we're at in society nowadays. The love of self. Everything now is about our rights. I have a right to do this. I have a right to do that. It's my right to be this. It's my right to be that. It's everywhere. It's prevalent everywhere. I find that we see that in society we have a government, we have a school system that promotes yourself as being who you want to be. It doesn't matter what mom and dad says. If you say you want to be this, the government says you let that child say what it wants to be. I mean, we got boys wanting to be girls and girls wanting to be boys. I mean, the one that flipped me out the most, Brother Kenny, is when we come across a guy on the news who said he wanted to live in a state forest because he thought he was a squirrel. And it was on the news. He thought he was a squirrel. And everybody said he had a right to be a squirrel. I just think he's just plumb nuts. And yes, I meant that for a pun. But that's what the world that we're living in today, when people are told by our government and told by our school systems, says, hey, that you should promote these things, that people should think that who they think they want to be and who they want to be on the inside. You've got to let them to be that. There's only one problem with that, Eddie. It's not so. It's not so. The Bible said from the beginning God made them male and female. He made them. Yes, He did. God doesn't make mistakes and God doesn't make junk. He made you the way He said you should be made, and He loves you and He wants you to be everything that He planned for you to be. Oh, there's something on the inside of you, friend. Don't focus on yourself, but put your focus upon the Lord. Y'all listen to the preacher. I find that we got things where man sues parents. I saw this on the news where a man sued his parents up in the East Coast somewhere because I think he was like in his 30s and he was still living in the basement and he didn't want to get a job. All he wanted to do was play video games. And mom and dad told him it's time for him to get out. They had to go get a court order to get that boy to get out of their house. He wouldn't lick it and hit a lick at nothing. Somebody said, preacher, don't you think mom and dad should have loved on him more? Maybe he'd have got out and got something in the future. No, I think it would have worked good for them, Brother Ron, like it did for you and I. My old man kicked me square in the rear end and said, if you graduated high school, it's time to get in and pay the big bills. Somebody said, right there. And can I say this? It's good for him. It's good for people to realize who they are in the eyes of God, walking and following God, and God will provide. We find in this thing of promotion of self, we find the things that people want to do and people want to make of themselves. We got women now who says it's their right if they want to keep a baby or not. Not only in the womb, but even after it's born, they can make the decision if that baby lives or dies. I'll say this, that Sister Doris was commenting on that three-year-old. I believe that mom and dad would love to have that baby back. I know there's a lot of people who can't have babies would love to have some of them babies. But we're in the day and time when people are focused upon self. They're focused on how can it promote me? How can it push me? How can it make me better than everything else? But my Bible tells me in the book of Deuteronomy, my Bible tells me in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke, it says that you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He's not saying you don't look at yourself, but he says you don't put yourself higher up than anybody else ought to be. Y'all listen to the preacher? We preach Wednesday night how we're not to look on the things of our own selves, but we're also to work on the things of others. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. But in this world of self, this world of self-promotion and self-preservation, Brother Eddie, there's more and more people who's got their doors closed and their shades pulled to, and nobody knows their neighbors and nobody knows nobody. They sit behind a keyboard and they make the life and make the world they want it to be because it's all about self. But friend, can I say this? If you're going to die and go to heaven, you can't deny the power of God. God's got to be a part of your life, and you got to be a part of God, and you got to be a part of the church. Somebody say amen right there. Some folks don't like preaching on church no more, but my Bible tells me when the Lord comes back, He's coming back for what? He's coming back for His bride, who shall be washed spotless, without wrinkle, by the washing of the watering of the Word. Who is that bride? It's the grand and glorious blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled church. Somebody hear this preacher say amen. I believe in the Holy Ghost-filled church, and I think you ought to focus and get in there on it. We got lovers of money, lovers of self. Now we got lovers of pleasures. We're living in a world today now where everybody wants to feel good. There ain't nobody who wants to feel good more than I do. Brother Eddie asked me and Brother James asked me, they said, how'd it go at the doctor Friday? And they shoved the needle in about as long as that glass right there and shoved it halfway through. And I guess there was enough gristle in there they couldn't get all the way in, so Sally had to work it up and down to get her all the way in there. I asked him before he'd done it, I said, is this going to hurt? He said, yeah, a little bit. Didn't hurt him a bit. Boy, it sure did hurt me. He said, it's going to make you feel better. I'm not your line. It's not so far. But we got a day and time now where people want to feel good. They never want to feel bad. We got more people drinking alcohol than ever, thinking alcohol's the trick. We got more people now wanting to get on that marijuana, thinking marijuana's the trick. We got more people now wanting to take some kind of pharmaceutical drug. Don't get me wrong. I said I hate pain. I'll take Tylenol, but that other stuff scares the far out of me. That doctor asked me, he said, what have you been taking for your pain? I said, nothing. And he didn't like it's by choice. I don't want to take nothing. I'm just scared to death what it'll do to my mind. We've got so many people that's worried about the pleasures, wanting to feel good. The government wants everybody to feel good. Why? So they can keep taking from you. The school system wants you to feel good. That way you don't fuss and don't raise a ruckus on how what they're doing in the school system. I thank God we got some people that's going to school to be teachers. We got some in here. Got one in here I do know is going to study to be a school teacher. Sticks with the stuff. That's what we need. You know, even though the system may be jacked up, thank God we got some godly people in the system can make a difference. Somebody say amen. I say thank God that. Praise God for that. They ought to be prayed for. Pray for them teachers. Don't get me on a sidetrack on a teacher. I was raised by one. I know how they live. It's not a very easy life. There's no pleasure, if you'll have it, making you feel good. But there's accomplishments in life that we can look back on. But the life that we have now in our society, Brother Eddie, people are lovers of pleasures. They want to have feel good time. This is not a foreign topic. I've preached upon it here recently. The Epicureans and the Stoics in Acts chapter 17. Their philosophy was, if it made you feel good, you keep doing it. God wanted you to have it. And that belief and that system was stamped out. It was what caused the Apostle Paul to get all stirred in the spirit, because everybody was giving up to idolatry. They just found the God they wanted to worship, and they wanted that God to make them feel good. And if they felt good doing things that God said they could do, that was the one they do. But when they heard the Apostle Paul preach, he didn't preach about a God who was going to make them feel good. He preached about Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and resurrected from the dead. Amen. He went by all their altars, all their devotions, and he said, you got one, you don't know about it. He goes, I know who he is. He goes, I know what he can do. I know what he can do on a road. I know what he can do to a sinner. I know how he can make them brand new again. And he preached Christ. Some believed and some didn't. My heart today is that we all would believe. And see, it's not the love of money or the love of self or the love of pleasures. It's the love of the Lord. I find that we got this in our own society, that we got pleasure seekers. As I said, alcohol consumption, marijuana, legalization of prescription drugs. There's some people out there that say, y'all might as well just legalize all of them. Let them all take everything they want to take. I tell you what, there's some things boundaries need to be set up on. Keep this stuff from people. Keep this stuff out of people's hands. And then can I sit there and say this? Y'all with the preacher? I mean, y'all pray for me right now. I used to be one of them people who'd say, let them take all the drugs they want, let them die, let them rot in the gutter. But I realized one day that could be Christian, that could be Samantha, that could be Noah, that could be one of my kids. And I don't want none of my kids dying like that, Sister Vicky. I told one, if it takes everything I got and I bankrupt my whole entire family to keep you safe and keep you alive, hey, daddies are supposed to do. That's what mamas are supposed to do. Hey, to get them to see Jesus Christ, get them to see if there's a life outside of all those things that try to seek you to give you some pleasure. The apostle, or I say Paul, who wrote Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews said that Moses had a choice to take pleasures of sin or stick with the people of God. He said, I'm going to stick with God. He said, because the pleasure of sin runs out. The void that the pleasure of sin leaves after it leaves, the void that it leaves in your heart is far bigger than what the pleasure that provided. Y'all listen to the preacher? And now it's in the church. Now that's in the church. Feel-good messages. Feel-good sermons. Now here's the one thing that kind of flipped me out. The one guy I sometimes turn it on, I got songs saved up to listen on my YouTube, so I can sit and listen to them. Kids know I'm talking about Tammy in the morning. And I was listening to some last night. Well, I forgot to turn it off. And there was this one preacher, and I ain't going to mention him by name, but he's typically known, used to be known as one of them feel-good preachers. He's not one of them feel-good preachers no more. He's done made a turn because he's seen. You know, right now, we can change this whole entire dynamic at Mount Zion Baptist Church. If the Lord would allow it in the congregation, we can turn it into feel-good messages. I can even take you to a church where they got feel-good messages. Brother James can flip it to a feel-good message. You can go to those churches where everything's all right and everything's okay. Y'all listen to the preacher. But the problem is they won't preach against homosexuality. They won't preach against sin. They won't preach against fornication, adultery. They won't preach sanctification. Y'all listen to the preacher? They won't preach those things. So here's the problem. When it all comes time to an end, and my Bible tells me, and your Bible tells me, in the very next chapter in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, it said, when Christ shall appear, he shall judge the who? The quick and the dead. And I said, that's not fast people and that's not slow people. That's saved people and that's lost people. Friend, we're going to have to give an account. I don't want my account to be given because I was a seeker of the pleasures, seeker of self, and the seeker of the money. When I find in these scriptures, in this verse, it says in this very last verse, it says this, having a form of godliness, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, that means you got the outward stuff, you've got the look of it, but you don't have the inward stuff. When you deny the power of God, I've always used that scripture and went in one direction, but God showed me something, shined a light on something, Brother James. When you deny the power of God in your life, when you deny the power of God to work in your life, you're telling God, I don't want to change. Because God's power is a changing power. God's power is a creating power. Y'all listen to the preacher? God's power, when it shows up in your life, it's either going to make something new, change you, or most likely both. It'll change you to make you something new. Y'all listen to the preacher? Oftentimes, how many of us, I often use this scripture as going against people who's lost. They're just the fakers trying to fake it till they make it. But I had to look back on my life last night and look at my life, and how many times did I deny the power of God in my life to change me? Y'all listen to the preacher? Say amen, please. Let me know somebody's listening. Because when you deny the power of God, you're denying the very thing that you need in your life. In Isaiah, I do believe it's chapter number 29 and Matthew chapter 15, the Bible says this, that they draw nigh unto me with their mouth and with their lips. They do praise me, but their heart is far from me. I wonder how many times have we been guilty of denying the power of God to do in my life to make me more of who I should be, more that God wants me to be, to have me to be what God says I've got planned for you. Can I say this? Everybody that's here, I don't care if you're saved or lost, God's got something for your life. He already knows how to do it. He already knows how to work it. You said, preacher, not lost people. Oh, yes, he does. The Bible says it's God's will that none would perish, but all come unto repentance. So if you're here not saved, God wants you saved. And when you're saved, God wants you to be more like His Son, in the image of His Son, shining like His Son. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I still believe you can have one of them mountaintop transfigurations. I believe you could shine and shine and shine. Not your light, but the light of Jesus Christ. But you cannot deny the power of God in your life. How many times have we turned it away? How many times have we looked and said, no, Lord? We think it's the things that we do. We think it's in our dress. We think it's in our speech. We think it's in those things. Don't get me wrong. I'm real big about speech. I'm real big about dress. I'm real big about character. It's not a rule to keep you safe. It's not a rule to keep you in the confines of a man. But can I say this? Sanctification is a must in this Bible. And nobody wants to preach sanctification no more. But sanctification is something that's a must. And I found myself, Christian Faulkner, where I denied the power of God to work in my life when there was messages that should have been all the way up here, but I hindered my walk with the Lord, and then they couldn't get no farther than God wanted them to get. And so I says, preacher, I don't think I have that kind of power. Watch this. The Bible says there's some vessels unto wood and some vessels that are silver and gold, some to honor and some to dishonor. Y'all with the preacher? Now listen to this. Let me think of this. How many of y'all remember, I don't think they still do it nowadays, but how many of y'all remember when you got married, you got one of them china sets you got it for a wedding gift? You ever get those? Anybody ever get a china set or anything like that? Y'all remember your mama's having china sets in the hutch? Sharon's back here. She's helped. Thank you, Sharon. She's nodding her head and smiling. You know, when you got that china out was when the big guest showed up, when the special guest showed up. You brung out the china. You brung out the silverware. You brung out the fancy glasses. Y'all listen to the preacher? I mean, I was raised on you shouldn't wear white before Memorial Day. And you didn't wear plaid with stripes and polka dots. Does anybody remember that stuff? This stuff is fresh in my mind. I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't leave me. Kids come out. Christian looks at me and says, Dad, you ain't hip. I know I ain't hip no more. But I'm just... Anyway, where was I? China. If in those days when somebody special showed up, I remember they'd have pie that you weren't allowed to eat. That's for company. Right? Couldn't eat that. That was for company. Because it was the guest. Those were vessels unto honor. Don't get the old wooden spoon out. Don't get the old ladle out that mom used to whip the kids with every once in a while. Put that, leave it back in there. That's for everyday use. That's everyday use. But get that special. Y'all with the preacher? And there's been times, Brother James, where I denied the power of God in my life when all I was just a little old wooden spoon. Still thankful God used me. God still used me. But unless I get my life right in line with God and allow the power of God to work through my life, I'm just a plain old wooden spoon. When God wants to use me with the fine china. Does anybody listen to this preacher? Am I just only making sense to myself? So many times people say, well, preacher, I can get by a spoon. I can too. But there's been times like, man, I could have something just a little. And I can say this, there's been times, Millard, when I thank God when I got out of this pulpit and I went home and I've had some lumps in my throat, my heart's still heavy, and I'm feeling the inside going, I think I could have done a little bit more for the Lord. We're living a day and time when a world needs to see the power of God. But can I say this, whether the world sees it as much as we want them to, how much of the power of God shows up in your life that you want to see? How much power? I thought about our youth retreat. And they're going. And on Monday, as James said, we're going to pray for the kickoff. Pray for it to start. Why? Because if you start on a good note, start on a good foot, that helps you plow through some of the adversities that might show up. When you allow God to work in you, I've often said this, Lord, I don't care what you want me to do, just have me do something. I learned this by my... I even show up to funerals with a message in my Bible. Why? Just in case if somebody needs help. I show up with a song, Sister Alexis. I show up with a song in my heart. Why? Just in case somebody needs help. I want the power of God to work through me. This is not just a Sunday thing. I'm not accusing nobody to be, but God says, preach this message. He said, there's a lot of us that's denying His power to work in our life. We come, we draw nigh, we come, we say things with our lips, we come and we sing. But a lot of times we leave off the power in our life. But without the power of God, there is no changing. There's no working. There's no miracles happening. There's no creation happening. Y'all listen to the preacher? You said, preacher, you got any proof? I got proof. I'll read this. Mark chapter number 5. Let me tell you about what happens when the power of God. James, I'll show you the most extreme case that I can find in Scripture where the power of God being allowed to work, what it would do. Mark chapter number 5, we find us a man who's possessed with thousands of demons. Thousands of demons. Now I hope and pray there ain't nobody here got demons possessing them. I hope we ain't got nobody here where demons are oppressing them. Don't get all looking at me spooky-eyed saying, preacher, you believe in demons? I absolutely do. Third of them got kicked out of heaven with the biggest demon. Somebody say amen right there. And I don't think he's bound. I think he's loose. I think he's tearing up homes, tearing up churches, tearing up governments, tearing up nations. Blinding them. Fooling them. The gospel's hid. Why? Because he's blinded their eye. We want to shed some light. You need the power of God. Don't deny the power of God in your life. Mark chapter number 5 says they came, verse 1, over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, this is talking about Jesus, immediately there, he didn't say what kind of uncleanliness it was. He just said it was an unclean spirit. So either you got a clean one, or a dirty one. You said, preacher, how can you say that? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1, he said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse our flesh and our spirit from all filthiness. He didn't say flesh. He said flesh and spirit. You said, preacher, what was he talking about? Those first, the last eight verses the last four verses, five verses, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says here, this man had an unclean spirit. Verse 3 says, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. That means he was not letting nobody in his life. He was not going to allow no one to help him, to show him, to guide him. He had an unclean spirit. He was filled up with this. I know what I'm going to do. And come on, I said, well, preacher, I'm not filled with an unclean spirit. Can I tell you one of the most foulest things to have in your life in the eyes of the Lord is pride. Pride is one of the worst things to have in your heart. God don't like pride. He says this in verse 4, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. It didn't matter, Brother Don, how many preachers. It didn't matter if me and you loaded up in truck, went and had a prayer meeting with this guy every single morning, every single afternoon, every single evening. He wouldn't have none of us. He wouldn't have not one thing for us to do. But the Bible says in verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. This man was tormented. This man was crying. This man was trying to find some kind of relief from his pain. This man was needing something. And everything that man tried to do wasn't working. When man tries to do the things that only God can do, Brother Eddie, it makes a mess. These men said, well, we're going to help this guy out. We're going to chain him to the wall. It didn't work. We're going to cuff him. It didn't work. We're going to go by our rules. It didn't work. Nothing was working that man could do. But the Bible says, but when he saw Jesus in verse number 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Can I say, the Lord shows up, things pick up. I like it when God shows up, but I like it better when God shows out. Somebody say amen right there. And when God shows up, we should allow God to have free reign to show out. The Bible said when he showed up, that man ran and worshiped him. He knew in his heart, somehow, with all the unclean spirit, with all the demons that lived inside of him, with all the fetter scars, all the cutting on his arms, all the tears that maybe stained his face, he was filthy. The Bible says in another place he was naked, but he still knew in his heart when he showed up, it was Jesus. And can I say this? You can try, you can hide, you can do whatever you can, but when the Lord shows up in your heart, you know it's him. You know it's him. And verse number 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He thought for sure Jesus was going to come to torment him. For he said unto him, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. We all know the story about how Jesus cast all those demons out of him. Everything that man tried didn't work. When the power of God showed up, brother, it made a difference. Nobody else believed it. Nobody else liked it. Everybody got all upset. I don't like this. I don't like what he's doing. This is our livelihood. This is our life. Who gives that man the right to show up and make a mess out of everything? He wouldn't make a mess out of everything. He was trying to make one man free from what was holding him down. He was a man that was nothing but a piece of trash to the rest of the world. He was a man that no one cared about, but God cared about. He was a man that did not need man's power. He was a man that needed God's power. Is anybody listening to this preacher? And can I say this? I can preach till I'm blue in the face. I can preach till my socks get wringing wet with sweat. But friend, it won't do nothing from me. But when the power of God shows up in your heart and you follow God and allow the power to work in you, Brother James, it makes something. It does something. It changes everything. The book of the Exodus, when the plagues was coming, the first handful of plagues, I do believe it was, maybe the first three or four, everything that Moses and Aaron was doing, the magicians could do. Somebody says, preacher, do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. I believe that when Aaron threw that rod down, it turned into a snake. I believe those magicians did the same thing. Every time they did something, those magicians did the same thing. But when Moses smote the lice, and the lice turned into flies, oh, Pharaoh looked at the magicians and says, well, boys, what are you going to do? They said, we can't do that. That right there is the finger of God. woo when God shows up. God makes things out of nothing. God changes things. God does things in a person's life. Friend, He can do it for you. Don't deny the power. You know why we struggle with the power of God? Because it puts us on the scale where we need to be, Brother Scotty. We're this big. All them people got upset when they got 5 loaves and 2 fishes and the Lord shows up and everybody's hungry. You know everybody wants a piece of that. Fish fry. What's Jesus do? He multiplies. The power of God shows up. Well, preacher, I got to do A, B, C, D. I got to get all this stuff done. If I don't get all these things done, it's going to get done. Can I say this? When you keep trusting in yourself and putting confidence in yourself, the worst thing that you need to get done, the biggest thing you need to get done, it won't get done. Because only God can do that. Those people got upset with Jesus. They got mad. They run off. Why? Because all those pigs jumped in the ocean. Because they didn't like him unclean spirits. He cast the demons out and put them in the pigs. Not because he was going to do it, because they asked him to do it. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to go down to that lake of fire yet. They wanted to hang out a bit longer. They said, put us in the pigs. Jesus said, all right, go. What's it? Even the pigs didn't like unclean spirits. Why can't some of us Baptist people be like the pigs, not like them unclean spirits, and run away from them? Y'all listen to the preacher? I don't know where that come from, but I say amen anyway. So this is what happened. They come back to run Jesus off. And that naked man who was tormented, who they tried to hogtie, who they tried to change, couldn't do nothing. But Jesus shows up. The power of God works in him. And he's clothed. He's got clothes on now. He's in his right mind. That means he's making sense. Ain't got a stone in his hand to cut for relief. Ain't got no rocks in his pocket. Don't need them no more. Why, what happened to you? Jesus showed up. The tear stains are now wiped gone, but they don't have them no more. That was making him sad. But maybe he had them ones going like this. What's them stains from? That's that joy I got now in my heart. Since Jesus saved me and washed me white as snow. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 14. It says the kingdom of God's not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and in joy in the Holy Ghost. I said in the Holy Ghost. So I said, preacher, you believe in the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. I believe you get it when you get born again and saved. That's the power of God working in your life. And can I say this? Why would you deny it? Preacher, I'm going through some strange things. I'm struggling and I'm dealing with things. Well, why would you try to sit back and try to figure them out? Won't you let the power of God to work in your life? You're here and you're lost and you can't figure it out. Well, preacher, I'm trying to make sense of all this. You say this. No. Cross for your sin. Greg, he died for their sins, my sins, your sins. Everybody died upon the cross with the dawn for our sins, but he got up again for our justification. And you know what he did when he got up and he died for our, when he got up and rose for our justification? He went away. And he's got a place up in glory, up on high, for all them who love him. And allowed that working power in their life. Are you denying the power of the Lord in your life? Are you resisting the Lord's power because maybe you have something to do with pleasure or self or gain, money? Are you struggling with the power of God in your life because it's hard for you to let go? What's the saying, let go and let God? I know where you've been. I know where you're at right now. It's a struggle. We as human beings, we don't like that. We like control. My kids like control. They don't like being under the rule of mom and dad. It's just a kid thing. Some folks don't like the president. They don't like being underneath his rule. Some people don't like pastors. They don't like being underneath the rule. Some people hate God. They don't like being underneath the rule. But I found, Brother Eddie, the only place you'll find that change in power is from God. Bible says they have a form of godliness. They want to look the part. They want to act the part. But they deny the power, which is the working part. Now, can I say this? You can't fake it till you make it. If you're here and you're lost, You's lost. You can win the Vacation Bible School Verse Challenge. You can invite more friends to Vacation Bible School than anybody else. You could sing louder and better in the church choir. And Brother Eddie, have a King James Bible underneath your arm. Sit on the front pew or in the back pew, in the middle pews, no matter where you sit, and still die and go to hell because you ain't had the working power of God to save your soul. That's not being mean. That's just being real. And friend, can I say this? The more you resist, the harder your heart gets. I don't know if anybody remembers. I had a show of hands who got saved at a young age. We had more got saved at a younger age than we did at an older age. They say statistics show that the older you get, the less likely people get saved. Their heart's set. They become stubborn. Y'all listen to the preacher? That's why it pleased me something fierce when that man raised his hand up last Sunday and said he got saved 5 weeks ago. And he wasn't a young, he wasn't a spring chicken. But he had a smile upon his face. The power of God worked in him. Maybe you're here and you're lost. And you're wrestling and struggling. If I could give you any piece of advice, I'd let go and surrender everything to the Lord. Let Him have everything about your life. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you're like, I don't know which way to go. I have no direction. Oh, there's direction. It's in the Lord. You can't make your way through. You got to let God guide you through, lead you through. I have to do it. You have to do it. But how many times have we denied the power of God to do it? He said, from such turn away. Somebody says, well, preacher, why would you turn away from that? That stuff breeds, Brother Eddie. Negativity. Rumors, they breed. They get bigger and bigger. You get around people who don't want the power of God to work in their life. You know what starts happening to you? You start denying the power of God to work in your life. Real quiet all of a sudden. I believe God wants to work in every single life that's in this congregation right now. The only thing that's keeping us from that happening is us denying Him. Paul, Christian, Caleb, come get us a song.